milk is important because chai. Chai.
Tell us a little bit about chai.
Chai is black, good Kenyan tea, black tea, boiled with, together with milk and water.
Hello, friends. This is Scott Mazingo, your host, and we're here talking chai tea and all things Kenya with Bernard Kabaru in the studio. This is a special two-part episode that I think you're really going to appreciate. So sit back and enjoy. Well, welcome back to the Grace Church Members Podcast. We have a very special guest in the studio today. Well, actually two, but one who has come almost 8,000 miles to be with us. And Ryan, you only came about 8 miles. So yeah, we're gonna defer to my friend Bernard Kabaru Mwangi. He's here from Kenya. And also my friend Ryan Burns, one of our members, Grace Church at the Taylor's campus, are here. Good afternoon, men. How are we?
Very good.
Doing well.
All right. Happy to jump into this conversation. Bernard, most of our listeners know that our church does missions. And I'm using air quotes there in Kenya, but they're probably unfamiliar with the extent of our partnership and the role that you play in Central Kenya. So could you just take a few minutes, give us a little bit of your background, your biography, and how you came to be doing what you've been doing for the last couple decades there in Central Kenya?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Scott. And it's what a joy it is to be here today, and also to have the opportunity to be able to share. And also, I mean, want to appreciate and celebrate God's providence in bringing us together. My name is Bernard Kabaru Mwangi. I was born in Central Kenya, specifically in a place called Kiangondu, which is a village in Nyeri County. Grew up there, humble background. My father and mother are believers, so I'm the third generation believer within our family, because my paternal grandmother was amongst the first believers in the village. Became a Christian and came to know Christ when I was age 17 as a young person. Transitioning to high school, got involved in establishing and a youth ministry. So served in youth ministry for some years. Wrestled with God about his calling me to pastoral ministry, but eventually gave in. One of the struggles actually that I was struggling with is I was so ambitious to want to address the poverty that I had grown in, the underdevelopment of my area, and what in my thinking I had come to conclude was faith assured me an eternity, so no problem about heaven. But faith in Christ did not seem to address my real issues. And so the backwardness, the poverty that I grew up in, I thought the only way to address that is to pursue a career that will secure me with finances, with wealth, with power. And so that's what I thought about. And so when God started calling me into ministry, I told him, God, you're making a big mistake. You have opened opportunity for me to go to high school, one of the best high schools in Kenya. Had a passion in my heart to pursue law, join politics, and I'm saying, God, you're making a big mistake. And because I didn't know of any pastor at that time who had gotten to where I had gotten and had chosen to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. And some of the pastors that I knew, they were living in poverty. And for me, giving into ministry was like signing a certificate of poverty. I didn't want that. But anyhow, who am I before God? So God finally got hold of me. So I stand today as a servant of God and with no regret about responding to his call. I'm married to a woman again I met, God's providence, in my youth ministry, Mary, my wife. She's a school teacher, and we are blessed with two children. Two daughters, Shirley, who is currently married and working as a lab scientist, and with two kids, CJ, who is 5, and Mary, who is 3. And Shirley is married to Timothy, one of the young men that We raised a church at Koinonia, one of the orphans and vulnerable children program that now is my son-in-law. And then we have Carol, our second daughter, who did business management and was working with a corporate organization but resigned to work with me. And so she's an administrative assistant in our ministry. So generally, that's who I am. Born in a large family. So we were 10 sons and two daughters. So I'm the fifth in that line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big family.
Yes, yes.
Are you the only one that's in full-time ministry?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm the only one in the full ministry, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you had an opportunity to come over to the States and do some training.
Yeah.
And then when you moved back, did you start pastoring immediately?
Yes, yes. Yeah, which is another, again, providence. I had never ever dreamt of even thought about coming to the U.S. But one of the parts of God's faithfulness is he provided an opportunity for me to come to Arkansas to a Baptist college, William Baptist University now, full scholarship. And when I got here, I got tempted to think about, God has given me an opportunity now to be able to get some money to secure myself, because I thought, pastor ministry, again, go back home, there's nothing that is going to provide, but praise God. So I finished in May of 1991, and 17th actually to be specific, and 21st of May, I was headed back to Kenya, invited by the college where I was studying back in Kenya to teach at the Bible college.
Okay.
And then also started, invited to pastor a church that was struggling on the outskirts of Nairobi, Banana Hill Baptist Church.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was my first pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit, and Grace Church comes into relationship with you when you are pastoring at Koinonia.
That's right. Yeah, there's a second church plant of Banana Hill Baptist Church. Yeah.
Banana Hill. What a beautiful place and a great name.
Yeah.
So we won't cover all the details of how the partnership came about, a lot of just God moments and all of that.
Absolutely.
But let's camp out a little bit on that. When you hear the word partnership, when we talk about partnership, let's define that, because that is a important characteristic, and we hope a distinction for our church and for the work that you're doing in Central Kenya that separates it a little bit more from maybe traditional quote-unquote missions. So when we talk about partnership, what are you talking about?
Well, great. And I have to say, even if you define that our relationship with Grace is a unique one that is drawn from an understanding of what I refer to as genuine partnership. And partnership, when you think about it, the beginning point is to think about the imagery that Paul gives when he thinks about the church, the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so when in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the various parts of the body, there is none which is senior than the other. In fact, he makes an argument that even that which is seen to be minimal in value is actually of greater value. Mm-hmm. And so partnership, therefore, must be considered as the body of Christ working together as equals with mutual benefit. And that's what Paul makes the argument. And so our relationship, therefore, with Grace, as we relate with Grace, coming alongside a vision that God has given us, and even as Grace pursues the vision that God has given them, and at the point of our convergence, meeting together as a body of Christ, is in the pursuit of that vision.
Mm.
And so that has been great.
No, that's well said. Well said. So then we'll come back to a little bit more. I'm going to have you explain kind of what that vision is for Central Kenya. But Ryan, why don't you jump in and let's talk a little bit about the role that you play, the volunteer title that you have, and a little bit about your own personal experience in travels to Kenya. So what is your official volunteer title here?
I think you guys call me a country lead within the outreach ministry.
That's a pretty cool title.
It's a pretty cool title.
Yeah,
right?
You get a whole country. I just get a little department. You get a whole country.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
That works. So I transitioned into this role kind of over the course of 2023. So a great friend, Jerry Fay, has been doing that. Great friend of Berner's, great friend of mine, has been doing that for 10 years or more.
Yeah.
I transitioned into that early 2023. And so I've spent the last year or so just trying to kind of get my feet underneath me in terms of what have I actually volunteered to do.
Sure.
But it has given me some great privileges to spend a lot of time with Bernard, more than I had in the past, on phone calls, as we planned, as we talked about things, as we pray together for upcoming trips for each other's families. So it's been a real blessing in that sense to be able to spend time with a brother who is 8,000 miles away, as you said at the beginning of this, right?
And so the leading the efforts for Grace Church as it relates to the individual countries, and we have other country leads for different partners that we have. What does that look like as far as planning a calendar year, trips, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so for me and for Bernard and kind of our partnership together in that, it is, you know, we're looking 12 to 18 months, sometimes even high levels, talking about 2 years out. And we're thinking about the trips. We're thinking about where can financial support be provided. Where are we going to need Grace members or Grace staff on the trips? What type of team do we need to put together for a given trip?
Yeah.
What is the trip going to be doing? Which helps also obviously inform who's going to go on that trip, right? So we have some kind of rhythms that we do, right? So we have two medical trips we send a year. So we've got a April and an October. Those are doing medical clinics where we're sending doctors, nurses, dentists, and then many people that are not those professions who are just there to help, right? And we're running a 3-day medical clinic at one of the local churches where we are providing medicines, we're providing direct medical care, we are providing a lot of tooth extraction. Mm-hmm. And in the recent trips, we've begun to add in some vision assistance with glasses and optical tests and things like that.
And how large are these trips, typically people, number of persons?
20-ish, right? We go over that sometimes and then a few times, and probably early on in our partnership, they were smaller. But 20 is kind of the target, and then we've got some variances there.
Depends on how many vans that Bernard can get for us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we definitely have some maxes, right? We realize that as you get over 24 people, it's actually adding another two people when you think about all the luggage us Westerners bring. Requires more than you realize.
Yeah, we're still working on packing tendencies for Westerners.
That's right.
So tell us a little little bit personally about why Kenya for you.
That's an interesting one. So, you know, I think when I think about my own faith journey, I came to know the Lord similar to when Bernard did late in high school. And actually, for me, it's somewhat different. Early on, I wanted to go into ministry. And as I matured in my faith, I felt God saying, no, that's not what we have for you. Mm. And so there was a season where I thought I was going to be, that God was kind of going to be putting me in a position to be a sender and to help send other people into missions. And then the more time my family spent at Grace, the more I found opportunities to go places. Mm. So I have been very blessed to go on a lot of trips at Grace to many different locations, which is not what I expected for my life. So one of the early trips to Kenya was in 2008, and I got to go on that, actually. All three of us were there for that trip, right?
That's right.
And that was a teaching trip, which I felt way out of my league because I was in my late 20s, not as a pastor or ministry person anywhere, and was supposed to be teaching a bunch of pastors in a country I'd never been to.
Yeah.
So that was definitely challenging for me, right? To kind of feel like, well, do I have the maturity for this? Is my faith strong enough for that?
Yeah. Hey, and just to pause there for a second, I love that story because I was thinking about it as a illustrates the partnership. You know, this is 2008.
Yeah.
So 2008, communication's a little different.
That's
We're not jumping on Zoom calls. We might have had Skype, but it was not real easy, not real convenient.
No.
There was no WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I mean, we might be emailing, but the world was a different place in 2008.
That's right.
And we had not done these types of trips before. And so, thinking about partnership, what we said is, we'll get over there, and then we're going to listen and ask a bunch of questions, and Bernard is going to tell us what he needs. And so we had some stuff, you had some stuff that we felt quote unquote, more comfortable teaching.
Sure.
But it really didn't matter what we wanted to do. And I remember we it was a little bit different trip. We had a day on the front end where we just sat, we got to know each other and we talked. Bernard explained, this is the church situation, this is what the pastors are struggling with, this is what the leaders are struggling with. And we began to just pray and we thought, okay, we can do that. We'll put something together. We got a few hours tonight. We'll go back and refine some of our notes. And to me, one, the type of relationship, again, partnership, trusting in God and really wanting to do what was needed, that was so refreshing to me.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I just remember where we were sitting, because on the front end, I'm like you. I'm like, what are we getting into? I'm not really sure where we're going and what we're going to do. And I never sensed anything but faith and love and support. And Bernard was so gracious to just have new friends. And we had a good time. We still tell stories from
that time. We do still tell stories about that.
Yeah, so sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that is just a poignant picture in my mind of this principle that we're trying to describe that goes way back to some of our first trips.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming out of that trip, actually, I didn't go back for 9 years. Wow. So my wife, Molly, went on a couple trips in that time frame, and when Bernard would come over to the States to visit and spend time with us, he would look at me and ask me when I'm coming back, and I'd say, I don't know, right now God's taking Molly and we're good with that. So I've been on several trips since then. We kind of started talking about the medical trips and veered off of that a little bit. But for me, at this point now, I think I've been on every kind of trip to Kenya that we take. So we do medical trips. In the summertime, we do some student trips where we'll take a group of students and their parents and really kind of watch what God can do with that relationship while they're in another country. And then we obviously do some teaching trips, right? And I've been lucky enough to get to go on all of those in different locations and different places. So that's been really special for me and something I definitely never thought was going to happen and that God was going to do. And so as we, I think as some of that rounded out and I started to get in a place of being on the different kinds of trips, Donald Spann actually started joking with me that it was my time to lead a trip. And I told him, I don't know if that's really where my gifting is. I'm better as a number two, kind of behind the scenes, sure, helping facilitate. Yeah. And so little did I know that then Donald and Jerry Fay were going to get together and say, oh, is that what he wants to do? Well, let's just have him lead the whole thing. So that's kind of where I got into this a little bit.
Awesome.
So, which is helpful, I think, because I am behind the scenes. I am getting to kind of do some administration, think about the resources that need to be put in place,
right,
and map out some of that stuff.
And well, so that's and been helpful. Use your strengths. You work in a couple of different fields, but logistics is something that you do in your in your daytime job. And so just being able to take the best part of you and apply it into the church as a volunteer is pretty exciting for me.
Yeah.
So Bernard, as you talk a little bit about the transition from being a local church pastor and then taking on some additional responsibilities of training and caring for other pastors, and just kind of walk us through how God has directed your calling over the last 15 years?
Well, thank you again. And just before I address that, one of the joys of our partnership is when I sit and listen to the testimony, like what the two of you have said, because again, true partnership must have a mutual blessing. And so if there was no life change for Grace, then that partnership is invalid, is not genuine. Mm. But sir, celebrate hearing the testimonies of that. Going back to the question, after doing a combined role of whether teaching at the theological college and pastoring, or being a country director of an NGO and pastoring, then I felt that those, and looking at the realities that I had observed, particularly amongst churches in central Kenya and those that I had involved in training, I felt that as I got older, the best way for me to be able to multiply myself was to be able to release myself from the local church pastoring, a job which was kind of secondary to my primary calling. Mm. And so therefore, I resigned from Alam, with the NGO that I was heading, to become full-time at Koinonia so that I can consider and help stabilize it with a perception that I'm going to live exit to Koinonia so that I can concentrate to be more available to mentor the pastor. So as a platform to do that, when that time was ripe, we set up Life Empowerment for Transformation International, which is a nonprofit organization.
And that's called, that's Lefty for short?
That's right.
L-E-F-T-I, say that again.
Lefty, Life Empowerment for Transformation International.
Okay, awesome.
Which has the idea, again, of a community, salvation, holistic salvation, a community full of shalom. And that shalom that is centered around God, that wholeness that is centered around the gospel. So I felt I needed to be able to be more available and accessible to help the church leadership to be transformational in their thinking so that they can be able to effectively lead their congregations to be able to address life change empowerment issues within their society, amongst themselves, equipped for empowerment, but also a church that is bringing change. Again, the whole imagery that Jesus uses about light and salt. So every believer being a salt or light, those are life transforming agencies. So therefore, every local church needs to have a life-changing impact within their community. So I felt I needed to be available to do that. And so therefore do leadership development, which is formal, running a Bible school, non-formal training, having an institute, selective men that have proven themselves in their pastoral leadership. They are developing themselves. They have potential for greater growth. And so therefore bring them together with their wives for an institute. Or coming alongside a local church that is involved in addressing orphaned and vulnerable children realities within the community. And if they've already started doing it, just coming help and help them develop a philosophy. So rather than just catering for example, a kid has been sent home for fees or they don't have enough food, just rather than just addressing the food,
yeah,
give them a philosophy of that.
So let's use that as an example. Sure. I want to go back to when you talk about holistic salvation and wholeness.
Yes.
Those might be some new terms for folks. So let's just talk about the areas of life where we're seeking transformation in order to obtain wholeness.
Sure.
So you mentioned food.
Yeah.
You mentioned schooling.
Yeah.
What else are we thinking about when we're addressing the entire needs of a child and that of a family?
Yeah, well, so that wholeness comes at the center part of it is spirituality. Them to be able to know God and identify themselves in God.
Okay. Yep.
Because that identity will be able to address any reality of vulnerability.
Right.
And then as Luke 2:52 talks about, Jesus grew in stature. So there is a physical, emotional, social, economic, environmental, all those factors that relate to real life. And so being stewards of that growth and to make sure that there is that growth. So within the OVC, Orphan and Vulnerable Children Program, therefore, at the core of it, we want, and probably just before getting to that, often referring to a child who has lost a parent. Vulnerability because of either poverty, which again with the reality of 40% of Kenya is now below poverty line, or abuse, or neglect, or single parent that are poor, or a father who has died and left the child with the mother. So an abuse, neglect due to alcohol abuse, drug abuse, those are realities that makes cause that vulnerability. So at the core of it, the central part of it, is we want that child to come to know Christ and so identify themselves with Christ rather than their environmental,
right,
environment's vulnerability. So then the second part of that is their emotional health, to be able to address the trauma, the wounds that they've experienced in their vulnerability. Mm. And then, of course, within that, there is also a question of community, so social formations. We want them to be part of a community, to provide a community that they can be able to find love and just a connection. And then there is the physical, addressing the issue of their health, their housing, medical issues. And of course, there is the academic, looking at their school, life, you know, to be able to propel them to become what God would have them to be. In addition to that, progress as they do that, we want to find that they have their gifting. And so we want them to exercise their gifting. So there's a service for mission where we want them to, at home, at church, in school, they are serving. And the other area of formation is a leadership formation where we are saying each one of them is significant, is gifted, has influence. Mm. And so we want them to be able to be instruments of change, again, church, home, in school. And of course, as we are prepared to the last phase, which is the launch phase and the exiting. So we want to prepare them for the marketplace and so that they can go out in the marketplace to be real changes of change and hope.
Mm.
That's right. So that's the components that we have.
So when we talk about wholeness, holistic salvation, identity that then addresses all these areas of vulnerability, this is decades long work.
Exactly.
That is going to change prayerfully the generational component of these families.
Absolutely. We refer to this as transgenerational life change. That is going to be, and I can look at that in myself, you know. Today, as I look at myself, where I am and where my parents are, and I look at my children, there is a faith connection.
Yeah.
That also deals with and improved conditions
yeah.
of living.
Well, and this is a chance to just say thank you to the families that are advocates for children in the OVC program that are Grace Church families. This is not just Grace Church families that are participating with this. There's you have partners from Australian churches, partners mm-hmm. from Romanian churches.
Mm-hmm.
But when you enter into this partnership to be an advocate, this is the goal. And so it's worth pausing because everything that Bernard said, you could take out a nice piece of white paper and chart it, and it would be a beautiful position paper. You could turn it in any Bible college, seminary classroom, and they'd give you an A. But it is not theoretical. This is personal. This is practical. You know, there are names and faces behind every one of these families and I wish we had more time to tell some of these stories. We're going to tell a few of them here in a second. But this is part of your family's interaction, Ryan. Tell us a little bit about Peter. Is that right?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about Peter and your relationship with Peter.
So I'm not sure at this point. I don't remember when exactly we started
yeah.
as an advocate for Peter. I mean, it would have been very early on. You know, typically the way this our OVC partnership and advocacy works is a child comes into the program through the local churches there in Kenya, and Grace Church commits to taking that on, and then Grace Church works to find an advocate, a sponsor here in the States. And so Peter was probably 5 when he came into the program. He comes from a family. His parents are his mom had passed away. He lives with his grandmother. There are other siblings. His sister also has an advocate here in the States. And so we've been sponsoring him for since he was 5, and I think he's 10 now, so maybe 5 years, mm-hmm. right? You know, a little fun tidbit that I think God threw in there for us is that Peter and I share the same birthday. So that is always kind of fun for us.
Awesome.
It's easy for us to remember that. So we've had the opportunity because of some of our trips to be able to meet Peter, to go see at this point both. I got to go into his home and meet his grandmother, his shushu, and along mm-hmm. with his sister-in-law and his cousin or niece, I think she is. And then I've met his sister as well. And so we get to meet them. We get to be a part of that. And then this past summer when Molly and our oldest daughter went together on the student trip, they both got to go in. And I think you actually got to accompany them as well.
It was one of the highlights of the trip.
And so it's really great to be able to be a part of that, to see how much they love the Lord, how they're involved, how they're faithful, how they're leading the community, to hear the stories from Peter's grandmother or about Peter's grandmother of how she cares for her family at an advanced age, right? And how she's caring oh, yeah. for these grandchildren. It's just incredible. And there's a piece of that, you know, as one of the last trips or the last time I was over in Africa, I was actually in Rwanda, but, you know, we kind of highlighted some at that point that there's a difference in socioeconomics between the families and the churches that we're working with in Africa versus what we have here in the States. And to be able to witness that and to have your child come home and realize, I need to stop complaining when I don't have the things I want.
Right.
And that's a huge, back to your point of partnership, of we're both getting things, right?
That's
so,
right.
So our advocacy is it's a small monthly at the stage of Peter's schooling. I think it's $35 a month that we pay that I don't notice, right? Mm. And so then it goes to pay for clothes. It goes to pay for school fees. It goes to, I've gotten to talk to some of the OVC program managers there in Kenya. They are able to kind of track the account and know how much is there, be able to give birthday presents when it comes up,
right?
Be able to work through, what do you want? Do you want this or this? And here's your budget. And they'll talk through it. And you're
able to correspond some as well.
Yes, we're able a couple times a year. We each send letters back and forth. Yeah. And so it's been fun for us with Peter to see his ability to communicate kind of increase, mm-hmm. right? From early, just I'm going to fill in the blank, to now he's communicating more in sentences. And there's still certainly a shyness there. There's still certainly some, I would assume, some insecurities there, because you're a 10-year-old trying to send a letter to an American family 8,000 miles away, and you just don't know what to expect there, yeah. right? So, but it's been great because we've been able to have our children write letters to him. Our son he constantly complains that he doesn't have a brother, and so he longs for the day to get to meet Peter. And sure, he's an eighth grader. He's 13. He understands that that's a brother in Christ. It's not a true brother in the same way that he wants a buddy to go play basketball with.
Sure.
But that is something that he is looking forward to. And as he's even now talking about, when do I get to go? When is my turn to get to go? Yeah. So that's a really cool piece for our family.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode. Be on the lookout for part two of our interview, along with an update from our most recent medical trip. For more information on Kenya and all our outreach partners, visit grace.sc or click on the link in the show notes. And we will see you next time on the Grace Church Members Podcast.